Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you back as I am now back in the lovely state of Florida. For those of you that have kind of kept up with my adventures over the last week or so, I was up in the state of Ohio for my stepson's wedding. That was an absolutely fantastic event. It was great. It was fun. I was happy to see him get married to his fiance, his soulmate. My wife was absolutely ecstatic and just couldn't have been more proud of all of them and the event that they put on up there. And if you had visited the Facebook and saw my pictures, you saw that, yes, I was there. Yes, I was actually in a tuxedo, and yes, that was a tie that you saw me wearing, and as many of you know, I have not worn a tie for probably 20-plus years, so that was a huge thing that my family really razzed me about, but it was a great event. I flew in very, very early Monday morning, did not do the show Monday night, so I'm here Wednesday. And folks, I actually have a guest here. This is going to be a fantastic person. Harry Brelsford from SMB Nation is going to be here. I'll give him a full introduction in just a couple of minutes. But as per usual, let me go ahead and take care of the housekeeping. And one of the things that I do want to give everybody an update on is that last night we had a planning committee meeting. For the upcoming conference this September in Grand Rapids, Michigan, that is the 2019 TechCon Unplugged. And if you have been to the website at TechCon Unplugged, you will see a lot of changes on there. They have changed the pages. You now have your featured speaker showing up there. If you go to the schedule page, you will see that we have started to put some things in. The schedule, titles, and the people leading the discussions. We've got all the events in there, and the Saturday Night Social that we're having at Dave & Buster's. There are still seats available, so head on over there and click on the buy tickets. And folks, for the weekend, remember, the ticket price is only $199, and that is everything at the event, including meals, snacks. It includes the dinner at Dave & Buster's and all of the content that we've got going. So that is a great value. Obviously, a lot less than many conferences that some of you have gone to, but it's going to be a good time. It is going to be a small, intimate conference where you're going to be able to sit and talk, not just with the presenters and the speakers, but with other techs. There's going to be times where we're going to have one-on-one or one-on-ten discussions, and you can really talk about the nitty-gritty of running your computer repair business, your managed service business, whatever tech business you're running. And it's going to be a great time there. So techconunplugged.com. And I still have in the Help Eric Ardini, the GoFundMe page for our friend that lost his battle with cancer. So I told everybody that I would still keep that link in the show notes. So that is there. I can also tell you that I had sent Door to Door Geek, the owner of the Podnuts Network. I had sent him some money from a sponsorship that we got, and he turned around and put that into the GoFundMe for Eric Ardini. So just to let you know, people are still contributing to that. I do want to thank Dor for that. And of course, I'm going to say it, if you've given money already and you're able to give some more, go back to the page, keep giving. The battle is over, but the bills do not stop. And I also, let me do this because I need to acknowledge we have, I'm going to say about 25 emails, and I'm not going to say much more than that. In order to understand what I'm talking about, you need to go back and listen to episode 212. So if you listen to shows out of order, or if you see the title and you think, I'm not going to listen to that one, you need to go back and listen to this one, because there is an opportunity within that show for, well, I'm not even going to say that. Go back and listen to the show and you'll understand. I'm probably in about 2 weeks going to put an end to the madness, but there are some great emails that I've got coming back. I'm getting some great discussions. It's probably going to turn into its own show. It's probably going to turn into like a battle of the devices. When you hear the show, you'll understand. So go back and listen to episode 212. Hurry, or you might miss out on the nice little specialty that we're providing for that. And I do want to go ahead and acknowledge a sponsor for the show. You've known them for the last few shows that I've done, Freedom Voice. And basically, because of the fact that I used to be against selling voice over IP, and you know me, I do what I know, and I know computers, I know networks, I did not know voice over IP. I passed up on opportunities, but after hearing Jason Miller, Paul Mendiola, some of the presentations that we have at the Unconvention ITO Compass, I kind of warmed up to the idea, got in touch with them, became a partner, and folks, now that we're probably 8 months down the road now, I've got 3 phone systems deployed, over 50 phones, got another one being deployed next month. And folks, so far, I am happy. Their support is fantastic. You got an issue, you call them, they take care of it. You want to sell something, you call them, they'll help you sell it. Anything you need, Freedom Voice is there to help you. They have a pretty good scalable cloud-based system. And definitely all of my customers have been able to save some money, and they know that the company is going to be with them. It is backed by GoDaddy, so they're not going anywhere. Now, if you want to check out Freedom Voice, just simply call, and the number is a very easily remembered number, 877-7-GO-NUTS. That is 877-7-G-O-N-U-T-Z. Call them up, tell them you heard about them on the Podnuts Pro Show, and they will do for you what they've done for me. And I think that is going to be it for the housekeeping. So short and sweet, let's get on to the portion that you've been waiting for. So ladies and gentlemen, I have with me a gentleman that has been in the industry quite some time, over 20 years of SMB technology experience. He has been a technology consultant. He is an author. He's worked with Microsoft as a contractor, consultant, trainer. He's been a corporate trainer, adjunct professor. He was the dean of students at one time, I believe at Aspen University. His education is, I mean, come on. He's got a BSBA in finance. He's got an MBA in project management and construction management. He's got a doctor of letters. And for those of you that don't know that, it's a PhD. So he is a doctor in online education. He is the founder and CEO at MB Nation. If you haven't been to that site, you're going to want to go after the show. Folks, I am talking about Harry Brelsford. Harry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great up here in sort of drippy June gloom Seattle. I'm jealous of you in sunny, warm Florida.
Warm. It's hot here right now. I think Miami broke a record yesterday, or at least tied a record at 98 degrees and, I don't know, 100% humidity or something like that.
Man, we're like 68. We're 30 degrees colder.
Oh, my.
There we go.
So before we get going, I need to let you know that I didn't realize it, but I don't have them on my shelf now because I actually cleared out my shelves a while back, but I had at least 3 of your books. And I can tell you they were the 2003 Small Business Server. So you had a best practice book. You had an advanced best practice book. I had probably a couple of others. And I also had the network migration workbook that you did in 2012 for the zero downtime migration.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Boy, it's I just keep on typing.
Oh, my. So now,
thank you for being a reader, by the way. It's a lost art. And I mean that a lot of people grab my books, mm-hmm. and we appreciate that, but I really enjoy it when they go through the book.
Right. Well, here's the good thing about your books, at least the ones that I've gotten, is it's not just reading. You actually provide usable content. You provide forms and checklists and all those things that we need to be good technicians. So it's not just, you know, you're putting together a book that, you know, halfway through we're kind of bored. You know, it's stuff that we need to know.
Yep. All right. So some people accuse me, you know, I do a couple things wrong. I talk in the first person in my book. You're typically not supposed to be part of the story as a journalist. You're supposed to report on the story. And then the other thing is, but I think it brings empathy and understanding, you know, by telling my story. And then the other thing would be tales from the trenches. And so a lot of times in technology books, we get caught up in, and I've written for them, God bless them, Microsoft Press, and Microsoft Press has standards. But, you know, they really don't go there about, like you started the show with a few phone implementations that you've recently done. Mm-hmm. A Microsoft Press book would not have that storytelling. But as usual, I use too many words. Please, sir, take the mic back from me.
Well, why don't we do this? Let's go back and just to get a little bit of background, because you did start out, as many of us do, as, you know, either a consultant or somebody that, you know, starts the business to stay in IT or computers. You started out around the time that I did, and it was a much different time back then. So describe the beginnings for you as you got into the industry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's go way back, and then I'll fast forward, so don't worry about it. But I grew up in Alaska and had the benefit of some summer jobs on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and it was good. And so I came back to college and bought one of the original Apple II Pluses, and this was 40 character screens, all uppercase, and you had to get the 80 character lowercase to send a card. You had to buy that and put it in. So got in early and stuck with it. And one thing led to another, you know, and then in grad school, I went to night school and had a day job at the savings and loan. And I wasn't fitting in finance, right? I just wasn't fitting in a traditional job. And so they shipped me off to IT, and there were these, you know, 3 feet of red boxes called NetWare that no one knew what to do with. So I just started reading. I trained myself on NetWare 2X, put it in the mortgage department, moved to Seattle, got in early, was a contractor to Microsoft for the Excel 3.0 team in the late 80s, early 90s. And I was involved in, we were creating a Lotus macro interpreter because Lotus dominated the market and Excel did not. Mm-hmm. And so we had to have, you know, it's basically almost like virtualization or an interpreter. We had to have a way to take, you know, millions of Lotus macros out in the world, right? Like at banks and oil companies, and run them flawlessly inside of Excel to get people to come over. The game changer, but yeah, I did a startup or two, 1-800 network. The game changer was about 97 with Small Business Server. I was behind the scenes. I live here, and I kind of knew this could be a big deal, that within four walls on LAN A back in the day, you know, you had the on-prem server, and it essentially did it all, right? I mean, as you recall, it did, let's call it, the half dozen functions that we needed, right? Yep. And email and storage and print and all that. And it was a little painful early on. I hope you didn't have the misfortune of using some of the first releases.
Well,
it was a little brutal.
It was. And I can attest to a lot of that, because I also was a Novell person back then, and I had Novell and GroupWise and did all of that. And I too made the transition to Small Business Server.
And it really got its legs about 2003, the aforementioned book. That's when we really hit prime time. And here's the deal, is that, Marvin, that I I'm more of a product stack guy, right? I live in Seattle and we're about products. Mm-hmm. So the Microsoft product stack, the Amazon product stack, it just happened that the audience for small business server was the consultants, the computer guys, the computer gals, the technicians. That was a coincidence because we were in meetings where, you know, the initial message for small business server was you, Mr. Small Business Owner. So you, Mr. Architect, just add water. Take, you know, like your plant, your office plants, just walk over and add water and this thing just works.
Right.
Such was not the case. And that's how I got in. I was a consultant by day, no doubt about it. But that's how I got into the whole now what we call MSPs, if that makes sense. But that was actually unplanned.
Okay. So was that part now? So you did that. And now I noticed that a lot of your educational things were kind of parallel to this at the same time. So did it just come natural to you to also be an educator at the same time?
Yeah. Two things happen. One is, you know, because I guess I'm a little chippy, I never was the best employee. So it's good that I've owned my own company for 20 years. and the academic community has a lot of freedom, right? There's a lot of protection and a lot of freedom, which is good because you want a professor to be current in the industry. You want them to be relevant. You might even want them to be out front of the curve. And we'll talk about that later in the show with my latest book about getting out in front of the curve. But that's protected in the academic community. But Marvin, probably more relevant to this conversation. I enjoyed it. I taught at night. But more importantly, I let the wife stay home with the kids. And I always said we're a two-income family. It's just I earn both of the incomes.
Oh, my.
So that's how that worked.
All right. She must have loved that. And then you actually took a stint at Dean for the School of Technology. How was that?
Yeah, I did. So what happened is that was a for-profit college, which was a little bit new for me. And they came across my books and they wanted, so two thoughts. One is a for-profit college, of course, is very different from a not-for-profit college, right? And I'll just leave it at that. That's a whole nother show.
Yes.
A for-profit college will want to have a figurehead that will help recruit students and drive traffic and do this and do that. And there was a little bit of the figurehead notion, but the other thing we did is we developed a pocket MBA. So I had the trademark. It was sitting on the shelf. And Aspen University, for a couple of years before they IPO'd and the whole staff turned over, including myself, we had essentially a six-week certificate at the MBA level. And the idea was to take technology professionals who aren't necessarily the best business people. They're geeks, man. I mean, what you and I got up in the morning and we think about the server in the corner.
Absolutely, yes.
And the customer was just an impediment to get to the server.
That's right. Yeah. Don't bother me telling me what's the problem is. Just show me.
Yeah. And so that's where I spent time in the academic community. And then, you know, I got news for you is I have SMB Nation's a mature business entity, you know, here yesterday, here today, here tomorrow. If Jenny Hallmark is running it day to day, and that frees me up about 2-3 hours a day to do startups. But Marvin, what I'm actually trying to do in the next chapter is return to the academic community and be that guy, you know, that droning older professor who's teaching for healthcare and benefits. and I'm just going to ride it out.
You're going to retire to Del Boca Vista?
Yeah. There you go. But, you know, I haven't talked about my education background in quite a while. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate your research and bringing that up.
Well, you know, I like to give good background as to who people are, where they came from, because in this industry, you know, understanding who the people are, you know, what we consider subject matter experts. Well, how did they get to be? subject matter experts. And it's not that you just woke up one morning and said, hey, I'm gonna be good at this. Although a lot of us try. So,
well, you know, if you don't mind, my advice there would be, I just had this conversation with my son who's interested in technology sales. And what worked for me, essentially what I did and what the latest book's about is picking a niche or a vertical, but being a specialist, right? Mm-hmm. And it mirrors the healthcare industry. And so, you know, my son's second year at Cal Poly, interested in technology sales, going to do some this summer for an ISV in Redmond. And I said, let's say that you're interested in the healthcare sector. Fair enough. Okay, healthcare. Yeah. Got it. But I said, within healthcare, you actually need to niche within healthcare. Right. And I said, let's just pick a topic off of the shelf, and that would be palliative care. So palliative care is about pain management, often associated with cancer and other, you know, things, and it often is associated with hospice. But if you can be that guy who's the specialist for technology and palliative care, you're the guy. You know what I'm saying? Yep. that's how you do it. And to your point, that's how you become a subject matter expert, because you get up all day and you're so focused and compartmentalized.
Right. That is true. So we're going to get into a couple of those points about that. But before we do, I want to go back and make sure you had mentioned SMB Nation earlier. So I do want to give us time to talk about that, because that is a site, a community that has been around for quite some time, I believe 1999. And if anybody has done any sort of Googling, well, even before Google, of, you know, looking for you know, tech advice or news or anything like that, SMB Nation has been around with all of that. So I'll just let you first tell us just a general overview of SMB Nation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at its core, we're a community. And if we ever lose that, we're going to lose the soul of SMB Nation. So for example, I'm still actively engaged in many ways. I'm still technical, and we're a technical community, and the enthusiasm was on small business servers. So we mirrored, and again, you'll relate to this, we mirrored the excitement in the enthusiasm of the network community back in the day, the Macintosh community back in the day. And, you know, people were just fired up about small business server. And so that was our thing. And now we had to develop a business model, right? It's we're not a church where we all get together and, you know, pray and sing and have fun on Sunday. Right. You know, I had to make money. And so our business model quickly became that it was what you would really call an integrated media company. And the notion is that we're spending, we're working with sponsors, like-minded, well-trained, well-behaved sponsors who, Marvin, I think are one of the legs of the stool. There's kind of three legs of a stool in a community. So yeah, you have SMB Nation, yeah, the participants, and you have the sponsors. And in my mind's eye, the sponsors are an equal participant. And we spend a lot of time training our sponsors to behave.
Right. We need that.
And you know about that. And so we turned it into a business model. And at the end of the day, if I said to yourself or your listeners, there's a really thriving IT pro community. I call them on the other side of the aisle out of Austin, Texas, called Spiceworks. Mm-hmm. And they're our friend. I mean, we work with Spiceworks because we're more the MSP partner consultant community. And Spiceworks really doesn't have a message there. Spiceworks would rather have a conversation with the IT pro at the Boeing company in Seattle, who sits in a cubicle and is a Exchange email administrator. But shout out to their conference in September this year, the Spice World. It's Comic-Con. People come in costumes. There's live music. Oh, it's my. Austin. yeah, it's the Comic-Con of the tech industry. And we hope we resemble that, because Marvin, at the end of the day, if we're not having fun or we're not making money, we should all go home.
Well, I don't know if I need to wear a costume to have fun, but.
Well, bring your camera. It's pretty cool. But does that kind of help describe SMB Nation, that number one, we're a community, but number two, yes, sir, we have a business model so we can keep the doors open. Right. Thank you.
So, yes. And the targeting that you guys do obviously is at small and medium business, and you provide, you know, content, you know, white papers, magazines, events, and even a podcast. And it's basically, you know, I saw a phrase, advocacy and evangelism.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would add to that ombudsman. Okay. Maybe I need to rewrite our mission statement, but yes, we're advocates and so on. But we consider ourselves to be an ombudsman. And what an ombudsman does, I mean, it's a term you can certainly look up, and it's that person who kind of represents you in dealing with the government is probably its core meaning. But we like to think that it's us representing you and your audience. I don't want to say against Microsoft, but we want to make sure that you're represented in the Microsoft relationship, because Microsoft is, as we know, a big company. It's a marriage. Marriages take a lot of work. Marriages are complicated. And the last thing we want is a divorce. So we consider ourselves to be an ombudsman. And, you know, I go out to Redmond and poke the bear occasionally. They don't like it, but it keeps us real.
Well, I'm glad you do it, because I don't know if I could do it, but somebody needs to.
Somebody needs to.
All right. So SMB Nation, now it is a community, and basically I'll put a link in the show note to head over to smbnation.com.
And thank you.
And really, anybody that's doing IT can become a member, correct?
Right. Right. Yeah. Membership is free. And by being a member, you know, we're going to watch after your interests. But at the same time, we're going to let you know about technology opportunities and solutions. And again, we take that responsibility seriously, because if we lose your trust, I'm out of business. Right.
And just to let everybody know, it's not just simply Harry that provides all the content. A lot of the stuff is on there. He's got a whole team of people over there. As you mentioned, Jenny, that does the day-to-day, but there's other contributors. A lot of the you guys do podcasts with other IT professionals in the industry. The content in terms of white papers and stuff is all geared towards helping technology business owners. I believe your phrasing is a place to start up and start over.
Yeah.
A place to go and do all that.
Well, and 2 seconds on that, if you don't mind. Sure. Here's what we found is coming out of the small business server era. So SBS, small business server, was essentially retired in 2012. Mm-hmm. You look up, that was 7 years ago.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And it was actually the 3rd of July that press release came out. So that's next week. And they were trying to bury the story, which is an old Washington, D.C. trick, right? It's, announce bad news on a holiday weekend. Right. But startup and start over, people were coming to me and saying, I got to do both, right? I SBS is gone. I got to start over. And then you had people like my friend at GE Medical, who was a technologist, and he got laid off. He got to the age of 50, and in corporate America, as you well know, 50 and fired. One fine Friday afternoon, you get a little tap on the shoulder, you get a severance check, and you have about 30 minutes to pack up your office.
Yes.
And he is my startup guy. And he was a little more big league than a lot of our constituency. So he developed a practice kind of leveraging or arbitraging AWS versus Azure. He said, you know, there's a business here to be that consultant that knows both. Mm-hmm. And that's a little more enterprisey. But Marvin, what was cool is he was able to take our guidance from SMB Nation because it's the same motion, whether it's small business or enterprise, you still got to go find the business, mind the business, and grind the business or do the work. Same motion.
Yes, it is. And funny you should use that phrase, find, mind, and grind, because that is kind of a framework for your latest book. So let's go ahead and do a quick transition to that. If we need to come back to anything with SMB Nation, we will. But because you said that, I want to make sure we get to that. You just released a book. It's been out, what, about a month now?
That's right.
The book is entitled How to Be an MSP, Volume 1, Vertical Edition for Managed Service Providers. And let me start with, this is book number 21? 21. Yeah. Okay.
I'm tired of typing, let me tell you.
Well, you can dictate now, right?
Yeah.
So without getting into the details just yet, let me first ask, I know that you say how to be an MSP, but it almost is if I'm trying to figure out if this is a starter book or a book that's really meant to help established MSPs improve their business.
Both. Okay. So, yeah, I can answer that. So certainly, well, let me back up. In 2003, one of my books was called SMB Consulting Best Practices. And what occurred is, and that was a great book, went to a few printings. That was a good book. And it focused on small business server, of course. So how to basically be a small business server consultant.
Right.
And use the finder, minder, grinder model of professional services and so on. So that book had its run and I kind of forgot about it. And then I took 10 years off writing from 09 to 19 because the, you know, the boys were coming of age and, you know, you got to do what you do. And now they're in college and so on. And so I went to mini storage just under a year ago, as the winter rains return. And Marvin, I found the CD with the Microsoft Word files for how to be the SMB consulting best practices.
Is that those are the ones that were in the back of the books and you took it out and kept it?
No. This was my writer's edition of the actual book, right?
Okay.
The intellectual property.
Okay.
So I didn't have to retype the book. Mm. And I was able to go to an old laptop that had a CD, open the files. It was actually in a Macintosh format. I saved it to .docx, right? So I updated all the files and started typing over the winter. And so this book is not just a mere update. It is because the prior book had a lot of references to gateway country stores and things like that that are long gone.
Yes.
So I had to get rid of eBay and gateway country stores and all this and bring it up to an MSP recurring revenue model mentality. So it is a new book. And then I wanted to make sure that, so yes, back to your question, can someone buy this book and put themselves in business like my friend from GE Medical? Yes, sir. He should buy my book and put himself in business because there's probably no jobs for this gentleman in corporate America over the age of 50. So you got to, you know, you got to be an entrepreneur. But by picking a vertical, and we'll talk about that, but let's just say it could be any vertical, healthcare, defense, you name it. By picking a vertical, this book is relevant to experienced MSPs. They should buy the book and think a little bit more about specialties and niches and verticalization. And then finally, Marvin, the final point on starter book versus experienced MSPs is we should all be reading all the time. You know, everybody should get up and read for 20 minutes in the morning, right? This is a 90-day format, this book of how to be an MSP in 90 days in a vertical. And if you got up in the morning and read for 20 minutes, is you should as an executive, right? We should be readers. Yep. this book works for the experienced person. And then finally, when you go to college and you're, let's say your major is finance, you don't just have one textbook in college. You probably went through about 11 or 12 finance books from different perspectives. Right. And so I'm saying you should buy Carl Pelechek's book. You should buy my book. You should buy my competitor's book. You should have a bookshelf of books. Yep.
As with anything, yes, you go to a class and you usually have two or three books for that one class.
Right. So. And my book's a hell of a lot cheaper than academic texts, let me tell you.
It is. So I do want to go back. So you mentioned vertical, and we're not going to focus on this part, but I wanted to get that out there, because while it is a good starter book, and it does also take somebody that is an MSP and try to direct them into how to focus on a vertical. The vertical that you chose, we're not going to really talk about specifically, but people are going to, when they go to see the book, it's going to be, you know, yeah, it's going to be based on cannabis, 420 MSP. But we're not going to talk about that specifically, but you use that just as a model of how to focus on a vertical, and your book is very specific within that vertical. So,
well, you know, let's hit it head on. I mean, this is a serious book. And Marvin, again, for the last several years, people are coming up to me, and I'm glad they do. I want to have dialogue with the community. And they come up and go, Harry, what do I do now? Right? I used to make $150,000 a year, and now I'm getting 6 cents on the dollar for reselling Office 365. Right? What do I do? And I've already had this talk with you on this show. Pick a growing vertical.
Right. Which and growing is pun intended.
But, you know, here's the thing. I did not know about the conference you're involved in. Thank you. I have it up on my screen, the one in Michigan, TechCon Unplugged. Yep. And Michigan is one of the states that has legalized cannabis, right, and they are in the process of implementing it. And so more than ever, that conference in a few months would be extremely relevant for these people who are looking, you know, the auto industry is not what it was.
Correct. Yes.
And they're looking for the next great thing. And if you keep your head on your shoulders that we're talking medical, we're talking palliative care, we're talking CBD, stick to the knitting, you'll do fine, and you'll be more comfortable, I'm going to say ethically, with the conversation, if that makes sense.
Right. So that being said, obviously picking a vertical that is, you know, growing, that we know is going to be around for a while, because I was a part of that auto industry. When I got started, I hooked up with a paint company, PPG Paint, that basically, they were subsidizing all the computers and technology costs for body shops. And I literally, for about 5-6 years, was just, not that I was printing money, but, you know, any body shop that needed stuff, they would, you know, PPG would pay for it and it would be there. And then, you know, that started to go away. So I had to divert my vertical, which is now luckily law firms. I don't know how much longer that will last. And, but so yeah, picking a vertical, is something that we should all be looking at. This book does, help with that, but it also is a very good guideline to running a managed service business for any industry. I mean,
yeah, any industry. And again, my bias up here would be defense. The defense sector is very healthy. I'm going to say society. You know, as a society, we in the U.S., we have funded the defense sector. We think the defense sector is important. That's not for every here again, Marvin. That's not for everybody. Not right. Everybody, you know, is on board with that. But the facts are defense is healthy.
Yes.
And you could target Boeing subcontractors with this book.
All right. So as part of the understanding of how to, you know, frame your business, I mean, you get really specific. I mean, I think chapter 2 is all about a business plan. Right. I mean, just right. To even start your business, how many techs and how many companies do we know that start without a plan?
Yep. You know? Yep. And I'll speak to that. When I told you, I basically wrote the first edition of this book, if you will, in 2003. And that chapter was about going to the SBA or going to one of the software vendors that sold business plan templates. And that's okay. You know, and you could still do that. You could still go to the SBA and get their Word document template. Back then, it was probably WordPerfect, but not to date myself.
Yeah. 4.2 or 5.1. Yeah,
exactly. And you could just start typing. But what I say today in chapter two with the business plan is simple is hard. And so what I want you to do is I want you to write your business plan in PowerPoint. And I want to try to, I want you to think about keeping the PowerPoint to maybe 20 slides or less, because the trap that people make with business plans is they think it needs to be thick, right? Right. And that's yesteryear. Investors don't want to see a thick plan. Friends and family, who you can always count on for direct, brutal feedback, they don't want to see a 200-page business plan. And they will look at a 20 slide deck. And Marvin, that's all you need.
Right.
You really do.
we're in the microwave society and the sitcom society. You've got to be able to get the attention fast.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So let's go back to, so we mentioned earlier, you mentioned the Finder, Minder, Grinder in it. The book that you've put together is actually kind of divided into those three sections. So quickly talk about how you came up with that montage of alliteration, Finder, Minder, Grinder.
Well, you know, it's funny. One of your vertical is legal, and my two brothers are lawyers, which is why I'm not a lawyer. And the brother Jim, who's had some success. He's been in the Bay Area for 20, 30 years. His success is well-deserved in high-tech law. And he shared that term with me, man, back in, he was the general counsel for Excite at Home in the late 90s, which was a competitor to AOL. And Excite at Home was going to be the broadband AOL versus AOL was dial-up.
Wait a minute.
Right?
That was before CompuServe, right?
No. They competed with CompuServe.
Oh, okay, all right.
So Prodigy, Excite Prodigy, at Home, uh-huh. AOL, and so on. And he said, you know, what being a lawyer is, you know, out on, it's find your mind, your grinders. The lawyer has to go find the business. He has to manage the client relationship, which lawyers kind of struggle with sometimes. They're not always good about calling you and saying, Harry, I'm still working on your litigation. I didn't do anything today. I billed you 1 hour for doing nothing, but I just wanted to leave this voicemail that I'm communicating.
Right.
That's called Minder. And then Grinder is never the problem with a professional. So, you know, lawyers do law. Technology, we do technology. I have never been demotivated about actually doing the work. You know what I mean? Right. I still love geeking out. But that's the basic professional services model. And I guess I feel good that I was able to introduce that language into the MSP community. Because to be honest, Marvin, I haven't seen other speakers like my friend and yours, Carl Palachek. He's not using the same language and the same paradigm. He's using more standard operating procedures, and he just has a different view of the world,
right.
And that's cool. But that's where I come from. Finder, Minder, Grinder.
Well, we all need different views, and I think that what you've done is put together a good one for us. And you know, the framework of everything from, you know, the business plan. You talk about marketing. You talk about paperwork. I mean, this book literally is a blueprint. If you choose to go through it and read it and do all of this stuff. So it's going to be a great read. It's, I mean, it's not a light book. I mean, this is not.
I like to flex my muscles every now, you know, if you don't exercise your muscles, you lose your muscles.
Right. But it is a book that if you truly want to frame your business in a proper way, this has every element in there.
Thank you.
Everything from, you have a section that actually tells the owner, you're going to wear many hats.
Oh, every day. Every day.
Yeah. I did want to ask you a couple of questions. And the first question I'll ask is, you've got sections in there called the Brailsford's Dozen.
Yep.
And I want to ask you about a few of those. And I don't want you to get too much. I don't want to give away too much from the book. I want people to go read it. But one of the things that struck at me is one of the ones in chapter 5 where you're talking about planting seeds and growing the MSP practice. One of the things that you talk about is, the life cycle for developing business. Your dozen there is have 12 months cash on hand.
Yeah.
That I think is a pretty, what's the right word? I want to say that's pretty ballsy, I think, because most techs don't have 1 month's cash on hand when they start their business. So.
Well, absolutely. And, far be it for me to say I didn't run up a couple credit cards along the way up and, typical start in the garage tech story. But here's where I was coming from on that is that 12 months cash on hand could be in a couple different forms. It can be, first of all, how people break into becoming a realtor. This is what I was really thinking about when I look at people who in fact, MSP author that has been gone for a few years, but maybe you read his book, maybe some speak, a gentleman out of New Jersey called Matt Makowitz. So he was pretty prominent back in the, 2000s and a few more years as an MSP business coach. And then he went off to real estate. And my thinking there is when someone gets into real estate, the first thing they say is, welcome to John L. Scott and or Remax. Here's your desk. It's you. And it can take 12 months to cash flow as a realtor. And so the 12 months on hand, yes, it could be the credit card. It could be friends and family money. Most of the time, what I've seen in real estate, and I mean this respectfully, but a lot of times it's the housewife who stayed home to raise the kids and now wants to get back to work. And the husband's a lawyer. So he's going to carry the household for that 12 months, right? And again, I'm not being saggy, I'm being serious. And so it could be your spouse who's maybe your wife is an administrator in a school district. Hey, honey, I lost my job at GE Medical. Cut our expense, this is going to take 12 months to cash flow. And Marvin, the good news is that usually you do it sooner, but I'm just saying plan for, let's be realistic. It could take a year to get to the promised land. Right.
That is true. That is true. And that is something I learned over the years. I, in the beginning, did not do that. I think I had 3 months was my cushion. And my plans have changed where now I am doing that where, you've got to learn to cash flow. We get stuck on this idea of just simply the monthly recurring revenue. I want to make sure I get the bills paid, but you got to think beyond that. And, you got to have that emergency fund just the same way. If you buy a house, you want to have an emergency fund for the house, but I also do it as a way to grow my business and buy tools. A lot of the networking tools that I get, a lot of techs look at me sometimes like, I can't get that. That's too expensive. Well, if you do the cash flow right in your business, you can set aside that money and you don't have to do it today, but in a year, have the money set aside. And if you got to buy a $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 tool to help your business, you've got it.
Well, and I, just between me and you and these four walls, mm-hmm. I will tell you this, that one of the benefits of owning a small business is, Marvin, you can go out and get some tech toys, and that's okay. That's part of your compensation. So, for example, I didn't do it a year ago. It's on my wish list, but I worked with a drone photographer, the real deal, the guy that does real estate home photography from the air. And, $2,500, rig, And you know what? You can expense that. You can make that part of your world. And again, don't tell anybody. That's just between me and you. But okay. That's a capital investment. And you never know, you know, with IoT and agriculture, there actually is a place for drone technology and photography. I mean, you actually can justify it, but it's a heck of a lot of fun on the weekends.
Yes, that is true. That is true indeed. So another one of your dozens is you actually focus on having the MSP realize that they're only going to bill 1,200 hours. In a year, which
right.
is always, that's something that when I talk to other techs about billing, how to bill and, you know, how many hours can I bill for this? I know that I have built my business basically, and it's funny, I don't know how 1200 became my number, but I don't know how it became yours, but 1200 is my number for, you know, what I put as my standard rate. And, you know, when I do my billables for my monthly service agreements, there's other numbers that come into factor. But if you're just going to do straight hourly billing, 1200 is a good number. How did you come to that?
Well, couple of things is that in the mid to late 90s, I was a consultant, again, still a consultant carrying the bag, but I worked for a regional accounting firm. I still stay in touch with them, and I thank them for my launch, a firm called Clark Neuber, and they had a network consulting division, and that's what I ran. And it started out as Great Plains Dynamics, and then Great Plains got acquired and so on. And then I introduced Small Business Server, and the accounting firm was a 40-year-old firm with hundreds of clients, and it was just a perfect fit to go put Small Business Server in. And my employment agreement is I had to bill 1,200 hours a year. So that's 100 hours a month. And that's basically a 0.5 utilization when you're professional. There's essentially a white-collar professional has about 2,400 billable hours a year, because we don't all work, you know, we typically work a little more than 40 hours a week. Okay. But what Clark Neuber wanted you to do is they wanted to make sure, like a medical doctor, you were reading journals, you were staying current, right. You were learning. I would go off for Cisco training, never fully got on board with Cisco, but I would go off and learn it and do this, I do that. And then probably more importantly, Marvin, is you needed hundreds of hours a year to go do sales and marketing, right? You can't just bill all day, every day.
Right.
And 1,200 is sustainable. And like you, you know, we figured out, okay, you know, what's my bill rate? And the bill rate for the accounting firm was X. And then it was like, well, Harry, how much do you want to make this year, right? You know, 1,200 hours. And oh, by the way, Marvin, if you went over 1,200 hours, you kicked into bonus territory. Oh. And that's a lot of fun on Christmas week to, you know, have a check that, you know, $5,000 check. I mean, that's still a fun check.
Yes, it is.
To have put on your desk. And so you kick into bonus time over 1,200. But let's keep it straight. This is really a cost accounting conversation that MSPs are going to argue with me that, well, you know, we don't do billable hours and, you know, we just have these contracts and we try to minimize our time. And I'm like, that's fine. But from a cost accounting perspective, you actually have to amortize and absorb hours, right? It's time. Marvin, time is not free.
Right. Time is money.
Yeah. I mean, you can use RMM tools and robots and AI. You can do all that, but it still takes time. And so in the book, I'm saying, even if you're not a billable hour practice, just under literally generally accepted accounting principles gap, or this is more cost accounting, but you have to lay it out like, okay, I want my guys actively billing or working about 0.5, and then I want them out selling, and then I want them out learning. Yeah. And probably, again, to go back to Minder, I want to make sure that they're taking care of the client, non-billable hours, taking care of the client, because you lose the client. Well, it goes without saying.
All right. So I know that we kind of went down a rabbit hole, but I just wanted to get, there's an entire chapter in your book on financial management, which is where that Brelford's dozen point is. There's a section on practice management. There's a section on client relationship management, which is something that I think a lot of techs kind of either forget or don't do or don't ever focus on, you know, keeping the client happy, making them feel like there's a win-win. You have a section on win-win, fair zone, making your client look good.
Yeah. And, you know, if I'll tell you, Marvin, I had a recent experience at SMB Nation, because I also consult industry amongst the many hats. So I still consult industry. And in the MSP community, there, everybody's gotten all frothy about new leads and lead generation, right? And there's all these emails you get every day about, would you like to buy a list of the attendees at CompTIA ChannelCon? And those are probably worth, you know, they're not even worth what you pay it for. The lead generation business is a little shady, but everybody's all frothy over leads. I actually disagree. I think if you take care of your existing clients, your 30 clients, your 40 clients, you will grow organically by referral. Okay. I mean, yes, you should be doing lead generation 101, lunch and learn. I'm not saying don't do it, but for goodness sakes, take care of the base.
I agree with that 100%. I am not a marketing person. I don't really do a lot. Most of my business has been referrals. And in the last few years, it has actually been referrals from my existing clients. And not even referrals. I can actually look at my top three clients right now are all clients who a few years ago either were spending very little because they didn't think that they saw a need for it, or were only spending out of necessity. And because I was able to bring to them other components through my managed services, through the Office 365 and all of this, they are now spending money that they never thought they would spend. And, you know, those are my now my top three clients, and that are accounting for, I don't know, was it 62% of my business? All of that.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Oh, congratulations. And by the way, I appreciate you not revealing all the secret sauce in the book. Happy to have appetizers, but the main course is still out there.
I want to give them just enough to say, hey, I need to look at that book. So, and we are, again, talking about Harry's book, How to Be an MSP, Volume 1, Vertical Edition. And it is basically a 90-day MSP business fast track. So if you are just starting your managed service practice, or you want to convert from break fix to MSP, or you are an MSP that wants to improve, this is the book with the guideline to help you get there. And if you want to focus on a particular vertical, it is designed from a vertical perspective.
Yep. Thank you.
And that would be good. So, Harry, I know that I kind of jumped around there. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that I did not ask you about or did not hit on about the book?
No, I guess it would be that at the end of the day, I'll leave you guys with this, be it my book, Carl's books, anybody's books, all the books, please, you know, grab a few books. But For the purposes of today, the best thing you can do as an entrepreneur and an executive is read 30 minutes a day. You know, just get up and, you know, MSNBC and CNN, they're going to be there later. Don't. They're not going anywhere. Start your coffee with a book. And, you know, Marvin, you'd be surprised, in the course of a year, you will read several books. Yes. And that's what leadership is.
That is true. And I attest to that as well, and I encourage everybody to read. I have books in my Amazon link that actually I need to add some more in there, and Harry, your book will be one of those. Now, let's also go back to SMB Nation, because that is the link that I'm going to put in for the show, because Anything that you guys need to know about Harry, SMB Nation, or the book can be found at SMB Nation. So is there anything that we want to go back and hit on with SMB Nation?
That's where it all starts.
Okay. All right. Well, Harry, we've come up to about an hour, so I want to go ahead and say thank you very much for agreeing to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
And if all works out well, I will be seeing you in a couple of months down here in our great state.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll be in touch shortly. No question okay. about it. Thank you very much.
All right. So, folks, we have been talking with Harry Brailsford, the founder and CEO of SMB Nation. I will have the link to the site in the show notes. It will also guide you to where you can get his book, How to Be an MSP. And that was a great, great interview. So as we end off the show, I do want to go back and just simply give my thank yous to Freedom Voice as our sponsor. If you want to go and learn everything that I've learned about selling VoIP services, call 877-7-GO-NUTS. And it's 877-7-G-O-N-U-T-Z. I want to thank you for listening to this show, downloading and subscribing. If there's any questions you have, any suggestions, comments, gripes, whatever, send me an email, marvin@podnuts.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Podnuts Pro. And if you want to support the show, go to the show note and click on my Amazon link that I mentioned earlier. In there, I have some of the things that we've talked about on the show, some of the tools that we use, some of the things recommended, books of people on the show. And if you purchase them after going to this link, anything that you purchase, the price is the same to you, but a little bit of commission, I don't know, 1-3% comes back to the show, and we can provide great content. I can buy equipment, make the show sound better, since many of you complained about smacking lips and stuff like that. But I do want to say that in the last 30 days, it looks like we've gotten about $150. So I appreciate people using the link and doing that and helping to make this show great. And with that, I'm going to end off this show. Go out there and make your business better, stronger, and make more money. And I'll be back again next week. And until next time, holla.